This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
56 minutes away. I was going to say 1 hour, but let's be official here. 56 minutes away from the start of the legal tampering period in the National Football League. NFL free agents free to discuss money and contracts with whomever they would like. Washington with a couple of key guys that still haven't put pen to paper. And they got about 56 minutes here before they're free to hit the open market. Guys like Jeremy Chinn, Cornelius Lucas, Marcus Mariota, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown, Dante Fowler. So make sure you keep it locked on the Team 980 all day long to get the latest on those guys and their status. Right now, though, 301-230-0980. How should the Commanders best address defensive end now that Myles Garrett is off of the board? We kind of were touching on this at the end of the show last week. I think there's not, at this point, now that Khalil Mack is gone, I don't know if there's one guy that I'm after, so to speak. Obviously, the Trey Hendrickson thing I'd be, you know, on board for. Like I said last week, I don't know if it would be my plan A, so to speak. My plan A, I think, is still available. It's Josh Sweat of the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think he's a solid football player that you know what you're getting, you know what you're paying for. And according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, Washington is strongly considering, and I would love to know who these insiders are talking to, because they don't say diddly squat, apparently, out of that building. So this is interesting to hear this. But Fowler is a guy that was reporting stuff all summer, so I think he may be their guy that they're dropping breadcrumbs to. But Jeremy Fowler reporting Washington in on both Milton Williams and Josh Sweat to, they called it a Philly special, taking away two key cogs of that Super Bowl winning defensive line in Philadelphia. Josh Sweat, to me, yes, I'm in on. Milton Williams, I don't know, because of the cost. It goes back to the idea of, hey, is it smart to invest that significant of capital at one position? And a one position group, I guess, if we're talking defensive end and defensive tackle. But like, that to me is the way that to me is the way that Washington should go. That would be my plan at defensive end, my plan A. My plan B is something that's a little bit out of left field. And I tweeted it out last night, and a couple of folks were like, that's Bruce Allen talk. That's Bruce Allen behavior. I think if you aren't comfortable paying the premium tax, the good player tax, so to speak, on Josh Sweat or Trey Hendrickson, do you go with defensive end by committee? And that, to me, looks like bringing in several different guys that have different skill sets. That would mean you bring in a situational pass rusher. Is that your Dante Fowler? I don't know. You bring in a guy that's really good at the point of attack and stopping the run. And then I think you bring in a high upside guy that's in that 26 to 28 range that can potentially grow with you and get better. And then you need that sure thing. And the sure thing to me of the free agent group that I'd be most in on that's not like Josh Sweat, DeMarcus Lawrence, I think makes a ton of sense for this group if you're looking at that defensive end, that veteran edge that, one, you've got familiarity with, and then, two, there's production. You know what you're getting out of DeMarcus Lawrence. The only thing about him, over the past several years is the availability. How healthy is he? That's a risk I'm willing to take, though, because as Denton said, you don't want to be stuck there with nobody on your side when the lights turn on. And with DeMarcus Lawrence, you know what he is, right? Entering year number, I think this is year number 11 for him in the National Football League. Look, last year the numbers for him were not good via PFF, and the impact wasn't there. The year before that, though, 93 run defense grade, 80 pass rush grade, 91 grade overall. DeMarcus Lawrence, in terms of setting the edge and giving you the pass rush juice, I think he fits the bill perfectly. The question is the durability. But Washington showed it last year with Eckler, Wagner, Ertz. They're not afraid to bring in veteran guys that have a little bit of tread on the tires and treat them properly so that they can get the most out of them.
So one thing, by committee approach, totally out on.
Yep.
That was what this past year was. You didn't really sign anyone to a long-term deal outside of Dorrance Armstrong, who never progressed the way that we wanted him to progress to be a legitimate number one pass rusher. I don't need the by-committee approach. I think you have to go get somebody to solidify at the very least one side. If you want to have a rotation on the other side with Dorrance Armstrong and then maybe a Nick Scowerton out of Texas A&M that you use number 29 on, maybe take a litany of guys that could be available at number 29. If you want to take that approach, totally open to it. But if you're doing both by committee again, I'm out. You got to have at least one legit number one guy on the edge that you can say, hey, we need you on the field for all three downs.
I think DeMarcus Lawrence would fit the bill with that. I hear what you're saying and why you're out on the committee approach. I think it's the guys they brought in last year, I just wasn't a fan of. Like, Cleveland Farrell has never had any sort of success in this league after being a failed former top five pick. Chase Young is better than Cleveland Farrell. I know for sure. And has shown upside. I know that name's going to piss people off. I don't know how they feel about him. They traded for him at the deadline a couple of years ago. He would be a name that I bring in as like that potential high upside guy at just 26 years of age is what he turns during the season. Like, how do you not take a flyer or look at him if he's not asking for some ridiculous contract? Preston Smith, you want to talk about a potential reunion. He's an interesting cat to me, a guy that can come in and be stout at the point of attack against the run. And give you some pass rush juice. To Denton's point, though, like the more favorable option here is to bring in a guy that can play all three downs for you and be a staple. The reality is, though, you're probably not leaving free agency with that guy. You're not. And Preston Smith actually really interests me. Last year wasn't very good for him. He got traded midseason. Steelers weren't playing him at the end. Packers have young pass rushers that they just thought were more valuable than Preston. 2023, though, 9 sacks, 74 overall grade, 75 run defense grade, 69 pass rush grade. Like, that's the type of guy I'm willing to take a flyer on. And we know what he is. 6'5", 270, thick, stout, long-armed guy. Between him and Montez Sweat, those Mississippi State Bulldogs that don't reach their potential here as edges. Love both of them. A complete side note, starting to regret trading Montez Sweat for the second round pick, too. Really would rather have that. Really would rather have Montez than Johnny Newton right now, for being honest with you.
Maybe. I'm not sold on that because Montez didn't have a great year this year. He played really well against the Commanders.
Statistically.
But he didn't have, like, the best year, and he's getting paid a very high point. I'm still optimistic that Johnny Newton is going to take a positive step forward.
I am as well. I just am like, man.
I also didn't realize that DeMarcus Lawrence only played 4 games last year.
Yeah, he had Liz Frank, I think, and that was it for him.
Yeah, that is a little concerning. If you can get him on a low deal, I'd be interested in that, but I don't know that I'd pay him a high number. If it's anything over double digits, I think I'm backing away from the DeMarcus Lawrence table.
And then there are a couple other guys, too, that fit the bill of that, like the Chase Young mold, where you're young enough still to potentially turn into someone decent. The kid Kuntz out of Malcolm Kuntz out of Vegas Raiders, ACL in week 11 last year, so there's an injury history with him, but a guy that has had some success in this league, is really starting to come into his own. Treshawn Wharton out of Kansas City, another guy to me that's like, yeah, I could be potentially interested in him. Azeez Ojulari, also a guy that was within the division, interests me potentially as well. The pickings is slim, though, man. Like, I think that's the overall point here. As we take your calls at 301-230-0980, Neville Gallimore is another guy that I think Washington may potentially be in on. Dan Quinn had him in Dallas last year. He was with the LA Rams. Let's go to the phones, though.
Yeah, well, this is why, real quick, this is why they haven't given up number 29 overall. Because you listed out a number of guys, and outside, like, Hendrickson, I'd be in on. You know, Sweat, if the number's right, I'd be in on. And then there's a very sizable drop-off in terms of guys that you're like, I'd love him here. Like, if we're reaching into the pot to get Chase Young back here, that's a problem. You know, with all due respect to Chase, I don't want him back here. I don't think he needs to be back here. First of all, I don't think it would work with him back here. There's too much here outside of football that I would, like, go be great somewhere else. You know, go get paid somewhere else. I don't know that Chase coming back here would be a great idea. Let's start with Joe in Westminster. Joe, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. You know, I got to disagree. My call was to say that, you know, if you can get Chase Young cheap on a one-year deal, prove it kind of thing that they've done with some of these other veterans last year, I mean, you got to take that chance. He's still very physically talented, and maybe if he gets his head out of his ass, he can play some ball for us.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think me and you are probably the only ones in town that feel that way. I think, Denton, your point is the best one that's been made. You're actually making a valid football point. I think other folks here just hold a grudge against them for whatever reason.
Yeah, there are people that hate Chase. I don't hate Chase. The drafting Chase number two overall was the right pick at the time. He was a badass in college. It just didn't work out here.
Yeah.
But turning around 18 months after you trade him to think that there's going to be some massive change.
Maybe he had a coming to Jesus moment.
In everything. It just, I don't feel like that's a great, great move. And it's also worth pointing out that, you know, Adam Peters was there with him in San Francisco. Chase was a free agent last year, and there was not really a conversation about bringing him in here where there could have been. So I want Chase to go be good somewhere else, to go work somewhere else, to go get his money somewhere else. I think there's a lot of bad feelings on both sides still in this market that as soon as you step back into Ashburn, it feels like all of those things come rushing back. And it's like, this is why it didn't work out. There are 31 other teams that I think he could go be successful at. And I'd rather for him that happen. I'd rather for us that happen. I'm not in the business right now of Disney Channel movies. I need wins. I need a badass on the defensive line.
I agree with you. 301-230-0980. One more name that I didn't. PFF grades stink from last year. But Matt Judon?
I thought Judon was okay last year. Commanded a lot of money with Atlanta. If his PFF grades stink, PFF is silly. If they're good, PFF is smart. That's my general approach. Okay. If it benefits my argument, I love PFF. If it doesn't, who cares about PFF? What do they know?
Yeah, he's only 2 years removed, though, from 17 sacks. And so, like, Judon is another one of those veterans.
How old is he? Is he in his 30s?
Judon, yeah, going to be 33 in August.
Oh, I'd take Trey Hendrickson over that.
Yeah. I want to see the asking price for Trey Hendrickson. Because I think the contract
is not a first, if that's what you're wondering.
Okay, so if it's a second, this is my whole thing. You got to have an answer at that position before you enter the draft.
You have to have maybe not an answer, but a plan. You got to have something in stone to be like, all right, this is the direction in which we are moving. Because of the way that the Trey Hendrickson thing is going to line up, my guess is they want him off the books sooner rather than later. You know, the Bengals are an idiotic organization that has stumbled into greatness because of really LSU.
Yeah.
They said, like, last week, we want to make Ja'Marr Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. And at the time, that was like, yeah, just give him $35.1 million or whatever it is just to beat Justin Jefferson. They waited a week, and now you got to give him $40 million. Yeah, so they need the money off the books. They know that Trey Hendrickson's not going to stay. They're not going to franchise tag him. So you might as well, if you can get a third for him, get a third for him.
Can I ask you this question? I mean, completely unrealistic, probably. Would you give up?
I'd give up my soul for Ja'Marr Chase, if that's what you're about to ask.
Wrong guy, but similar question. 29 in your next two first-round picks and your next two second-round picks for Michael Parsons?
No, I don't think so.
I think he's just too rich. Hey, he's just,
I don't. If you, so I don't. I would not give up
the second
and three first-round picks.
I mean, that would be 29, and then your next two.
I would not give up three first-round picks for Michael Parsons, and then have to pay him $42 million.
That would be,
if that asking price is lower. If it's two firsts and two seconds, I'd be in on that. But three first-round picks is a little steep.
Finished fifth in sacks after missing five games this year.
He's a great player.
He's amazing.
I do. I think he's versatile as hell, but three first-round picks is a lot.
Hashtag F them picks. 301-230-0980 is the number. Who we got on the phones?
Let's go to our guy, Lap. Lap, you're on with Denton and Linnell. What's going on?
What's up, Lap?
Hey, what's up, Denton? What's up, Denton? What's up, Linnell? Hey, good show, man, as always, man. Y'all need to get y'all show together, man, a podcast or something, man. That's why I always call, show y'all love, man.
Appreciate
you, my guys, man. So keep up the good work. I'd take Sweat from the Eagles if that's a possibility.
Yeah.
And I'll bring Chim back too. You know, we definitely need help in the secondary.
For sure. So appreciate your call.
We definitely gotta address the defensive side of the ball.
Has to. It's a must. Appreciate the call, brother. 301-230-0980.
For legal purposes, this is a joke and it needs to be taken as such. I'm about ready to suplex Elon Musk. Twitter is down again.
No, it's not.
It is the tampering period of the NFL, and for the second or third time today, I wasn't awake that early today, but for the second or third time, Twitter is down. How are we supposed to get news about where our team or where other teams are going to be divvying up their money and who is on the market? This is atrocious. This man paid $44 billion for this thing, and it's not working on one of the most important days of the NFL offseason.
I have many, many answers to why Twitter is down that would rub folks the wrong way, depending on the color that you root for. I can care less about the colors. I just think it's all stupid. This is so dumb. We're 40 minutes away. This is like the damn reindeer, the damn sleigh, giving out on Santa right before.
Where
Christmas
is Rudolph?
Yeah, like this is horrible. The timing couldn't have been any worse with this. So we'll keep you up to speed as best as we can as Denton Rain dances in the other side of the studio to try to get the Twitter guys to come back. We got a lot more to get to. Bruce Feldman scheduled to join us coming up at 11:40. We'll ask him some potential options that the Commanders can hit at the defensive end spot in the draft, because right now, as we get geared up for the legal tampering period, about 39 minutes away from that, It ain't looking like there are a bunch of options out there for the burgundy and gold at the defensive end spot. I am in on Trey Hendrickson, by the way. It's something that I would be in on doing. If it's a second-round pick, give it to me, the contract. Doesn't bother me as much. You mentioned 3 years. I think that's – if I'm going to sign someone to a massive deal, I'm signing it to 3 years because that's when I'm about to probably start negotiating with Jaden. So – I don't know if Jaden gets his contract in 3 years. I would think.
My guess is that they are giving Jaden Daniels his contract at the earliest point they can give Jaden. You don't.
Yeah, you don't wait.
Smart organizations do not wait. And I can confidently say for the first time in lifetimes, this is a smart organization. So when they can give Jaden his contract, they are going to give Jaden his contract.
Yeah, I hope he's able to get the Pat Mahomes Godfather deal. Speaking of quarterback deals, Josh Allen yesterday, was it $330 million?
Ooh, look at me. I'm Josh Allen. I won an MVP. I got great hair. I got $330 million, and I'm sleeping with Haley Steinfeld. I hate that dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I can't beat Pat Mahomes.
And he can't be, all that, and he still can't beat Pat Mahomes.
Still can't beat Pat Mahomes. Beggars can't be choosers. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of your calls on how the Commanders should best address defensive end now that some of the top options are off the market. Also, when we come back, there is a rumor out there from a very trusted NFL insider that gives some very clear insight as to how Washington is viewing a certain player. That's called a tease. We'll pay it off on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. It's Team 980. It's Kevin Sheehan's show right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Linnell Willingham, Denton Day, taking you up to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Legal tampering period gets underway in the National Football League in about 32 minutes. Washington busy over the weekend handling their business. A couple of veterans inked new deals. We already knew about Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Zane Gonzalez, and Chris Rodriguez. Here within the past 24 hours, John Bates signing a multi-year deal to stay in Washington, the tight end that's been huge in the past game and as a blocker for Washington. And then Tressway, one of the all-time franchise favorites, going to do one more year in Washington as well. We led off the show with the series of tweets put out by Dante Fowler and then De'Ami Brown coming to Fowler's defense saying exactly when talking about being disrespected as a UFA. We'll see whether or not Washington can get a deal done with either of those two guys. We're taking your calls on how should Washington best address the defensive end position now that some of the, you know, marquee options are off of the table. Myles Garrett signing a new extension in Cleveland, so a trade for him now off of the books. Khalil Mack was the most popular veteran option amongst a lot of people. He stays in L.A. with the Chargers on a one-year, $18 million deal. Josh Sweat, someone that I think I would be on, and then the Trey Hendrickson deal, still a potential as well for Washington. What I want to look at right now is another position of need, I guess, for the Commanders in free agency. I say I guess because we talked about this last week. I don't think offensive tackle, left tackle at that, should have been a massive need for Washington, but according to Albert Breer, longtime NFL insider for the MMQB, Ronnie Stanley, who put pen to paper yesterday on a deal to stay in Baltimore, Breer reporting that the Chiefs, Commanders, and Patriots were the three most aggressive in trying to acquire Ronnie Stanley, and the wonky left tackle market, as he describes it, the Commanders, Patriots, and Chiefs all going to be in on it. The three starters that Breer lists is Dan Moore, Jaylon Moore, and Cam Robinson. Dan Moore, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jaylon Moore filled in for Trent Williams last year in San Francisco. And then Cam Robinson, who we know of Jacksonville and of Minnesota. There are some interesting options out there, man. Joe Noteboom is an option out there at tackle. Morgan Moses, Washington apparently is in on as well. My bigger reaction to all of this is like the fact that are they not okay with Brandon Coleman at left tackle? After watching him last year, I get the if you get the opportunity to upgrade, you do it. It's the old Pete Carroll philosophy, competition everywhere all the time. But throwing big money at Ronnie Stanley is not something I would have been on board with.
I would have been on board because it means they don't like Wiley that much. I think throwing big money at Stanley is not necessarily saying that we don't believe that Brandon Coleman is a long-term starter. I think it's saying we don't know that Wiley's going to be here for forever, and we think Brandon Coleman could be versatile to move to a bunch of different spots, especially with the absence of Sam Cosmi in the interim.
Totally understand it from that vantage point. I think it would be more of an indictment on Wiley because he's the guy that goes to the bench. They're not going to put Coleman on the bench, but maybe it's them kicking Coleman inside the guard. I just look at Stanley over the last couple of years. He just hasn't played as much as I would like. At 31, his birthday's actually coming up next week. At 31, he's not super old. He's played good ball before. I just think he's missed a lot of time over the past couple of years, and that's the big reason why I think there was some doubt about Baltimore even bringing him back. But I look at the tackle market, and according to Albert Breer and Jordan Schultz as well of FoxSports.com, like it's expected to boom. And it makes me think about Cornelius Lucas, another guy that I think will have a robust market based on what he's been able to show in his limited time as a starter. If Washington was looking at Ronnie Stanley, they're also looking at the other guys, as Albert Breer mentioned, guys like Jaylon Moore, Dan Moore, and then Cam Robinson from Minnesota. Cam Robinson is the best tackle of the available guys on the market right now. I don't think it's much of a debate with that. How much he is going to cost, I don't know. Some other options, potentially DJ Humphreys, who will be fully healthy this offseason, a guy that was with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona. I'm just curious that, like, it goes back to my question I asked last week that will, like, kind of tell in forecast, I guess, their moves in free agency. How do they feel about themselves internally at every position? I want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because in reality, right, like, Brandon Coleman's fine. And I think your point is valid, though. Like, if you can if you could upgrade to upgrade, is what that would be. It would be upgrading left tackle so you could upgrade right tackle. I'm all in on that. The Andrew Wiley thing is interesting. I think he was just as bad last year as he was the year before, but this year the scheme was able to mask most of his deficiencies. So, yes, you do need an upgrade.
That's why I'd be interested in Stanley, or I would have been interested in Stanley, because he is accustomed to playing with a quarterback that also has a threat with his legs in playing with Lamar Jackson. So he kind of understands maybe some of the nuances that as they continue to build this offense out that they want to install with him off the market. I do think that is something that needs to be taken into consideration. Not like the main thing, but like, hey, are you comfortable with RPOs, knowing that you can't move a certain amount of distance before the ball is thrown? Things of that, which I feel like Stanley would have been good at.
100%. And look, he was awesome last year when he was healthy. The big question for him was obviously health. I expect him, like Breer is reporting, to be in on the other names. Jedrick Wills. With Jedrick, he's a right tackle primarily, correct? Or has he played some left too?
I think he played left in college, and then he's played a majority of right in the NFL.
Okay, because that's where it gets interesting. There's some other names as well that are potentially interesting. Storm Norton out in Atlanta. If you're looking for a right tackle upgrade, could be potentially interesting. Dan Skipper from Detroit. I don't know if there's a Lance Newmark connection there. Do they want to bring him in? The guy that's been made famous as being their sixth offensive lineman. It's interesting because the whole thing is like good players, especially at this position, good players at this position don't hit free agency. Jaylon Moore, though, is the interesting one to me. Because he's being described by most people as like the upside play of this class. Just 27 years old, kind of fits that Frankie Louvu, Dorrance Armstrong type of free agent signing. I don't know how interested Washington would be in that. Tyron Smith has not retired? I thought he retired.
I thought he did retire too.
I want to Google that. It says Tyron Smith is available.
Maybe he hasn't put in his paperwork yet.
Yeah.
The paperwork process to retire is apparently a very large pain in the rear end.
Oh, wow. So he is not retired from the NFL. He's considering it, or was considering it.
Zach Martin was a guy that definitely retired for the Stars.
Tyron Smith would flyer guy. If you want to take him on a flyer, that would be interesting. I just don't know here where we're at with this thing. Like, the tackle position is super interesting to me because it's hard to, I think, find a legitimate upgrade through free agency. Now, as far as the draft goes, and we'll talk some NFL draft prospects with our guy Bruce Feldman when he joins us at 11:40. I always say you treat free agency like the draft don't exist. If that is the case, you're going to be looking at a lot of interesting names being brought in, man. I think Andrew Wiley, like, here's how my offensive line aggression would look in free agency. I think you need, because Mike Dieter is now a free agent. So I need a backup center, which maybe you can find through the draft. I need two guards at least, two guys that I'm comfortable starting, because I want one of them to compete with Allegretti at the left guard spot, and then I want the other one to be my Cosme replacement till he comes back. So you don't have to go two high-end guys, but there is one starter that you for sure need. And then at right tackle, like, I wouldn't say I'm like desperate for an upgrade, but like that's the spot where I'm really like, all right, I really need to be better. I would be more okay if you had to run it back with Allegretti rather than Wiley.
Like, I feel way better about Allegretti.
Yeah. Like, I just think he was the better player. And he had some bright moments in the run game, being just a nasty you-know-what, and just putting people on their butts. Like, he was strong in that area. I wonder, and I keep saying it, how the tackle market affects Cornelius Lucas. Because I would be all in on, hey, let's play Corn Lucas let's have him penciled in as our starting right tackle, and then say we bring in, I don't know, DJ Humphreys to be our swing tackle. And, like, that's the situation that you go. If they overpay Cam Robinson, it is an indictment on Brandon Coleman. If they overpay Cam Robinson, who clearly is the best free agent tackle, but only worth so much. Like, I'm not paying Cam Robinson $20 million per. You're not going to finesse me into a deal like that. And I'm not trying to sit here and talk on Cam like he's a bad football player. It's just certain things I'm not willing to do. There's a reason. I guess the reason Minnesota let him hit free agency is because they've got Darrisaw coming back from injury.
Right.
And then, and then their right tackle, I think, is what, Brendel, if I'm not mistaken. So they may be comfortable with what they have up front. So that may give you the answer as to why they may not bring him back. They traded for him. So clearly they viewed him high enough in some light. Brian O'Neill, is their right tackle. And he is one of the better ones in the NFL, their former second-round pick. Do they pivot to Cam Robinson? I would have to think if you were aggressive going after the top tackle on the market when it was Ronnie Stanley, you would still be just as aggressive going after the top tackle on the market, which is now Cam Robinson. So
unless they just really liked Stanley,
which is I can understand why, big guy, good feet, like you said, there's the familiarity with playing left tackle for that type of quarterback in that type of offense. So I can 100% understand why that would be something where they go, I like this. So we'll see ultimately how they address it. I think guard's got to be addressed as well. Aaron Banks is a guy that I would be in on. Will Freeze, I've been calling him Will Fries ever since I first found out the guy's name. No one corrected me. Shame on you, Denton, laughing at me. But no, like James Daniels from Pittsburgh, another guy that's 27 that fits the mold of that ascending player, maybe just needs more opportunity. I told you the guy that I wanted, Patrick McCary from Baltimore, is a guy that I think fits perfectly here. Another guy just 27 years of age. Mekhi Becton is a guy that I know fans are in on. I don't see why he leaves Jeff Stoutland in Philly. I don't think that's just smart to leave the best offensive line coach in football, but maybe if the bag is big enough for Mekhi, he would do it. I thought he was awesome at guard last year for Philly. I don't know if I would try him at my right tackle. I actually doubt that I would try him at my right tackle, but guard, his big self in a phone booth, woof, sign me up for it. Kendrick Green's another guy. Wow, Kendrick Green. They let Kendrick Green hit free agency? That's crazy. Kendrick Green, the former third-round pick out of Illinois for the Houston Texans. Wow. 301-230-0980 is the number. We'll get some insight on how Washington can upgrade the offensive line and defensive line through the draft with our guy Bruce Feldman coming up next on the Team 980. 15 minutes away from the official start of the legal tampering period in the National Football League. It's Kevin Sheehan Show right here on the Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. And L. Willingham, Denton Day, sitting in for Kevin. He's back with you on a Wednesday. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline where we find one of the absolute best talking all things NFL draft analyst for The Athletic. Our pal Bruce Feldman joins us right now. Bruce, happy free agency, my friend.
Good morning, guys. Good to be on with you.
Yes, indeed. So wanted to ask you about a couple of different positions of need in the draft for the Commanders. Washington now in a position where obviously defensive end and edge rush help is at the top of their list. You don't want to leave free agency without starting answers at that position. I always say you treat free agency like the draft doesn't exist. If Washington isn't able to, you know, strike on a marquee name in free agency, who are a couple of guys at the edge rusher spot at pick number 29 where you think, if he's there, Washington's got to run in the cart?
Yeah, I think the challenge there is you're really at the end of the first round. Guys who I could see, you know, perhaps Mike Green from Marshall could fall. He has some character concerns for some off-field question marks about him from his days in high school and at UVA before he went to Marshall. I mean, he's a very talented player, but I think that's where it's on. NFL teams are going to have to really do their due diligence. Another guy who's super athletic and was productive at Tennessee, James Pierce Jr. I mean, ran at 6'5", ran 4.47. He has got, I want to say, like some, you know, Brian Burns kind of capabilities, but I think there's a little bit of maturity and character concerns about him too. And so those are guys I could see possibly being there once you get past that. I don't know where, you know, Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College is not as long and he's not as explosive an athlete, but he's
I think production's out of the charts.
The production is really good, you know, mature kid. I think he's a playmaker. I think he could be there. You start getting, you know, start getting into that range. I think those are the guys who I think will be interesting to see where they end up. You got a couple of Ohio State edge guys, JT Tui Maloau, Jack Sawyer, really productive players, have played a lot bigger edge guys. They don't run like the guys I just mentioned, but I think, you know, they're really solid players. I think they're probably more early second round guys than late first.
Yeah.
You know, Landon Jackson's a bigger edge guy. He's 6'5" plus, 275, and he jumped out of the combine. I mean, he was a guy who started his career at LSU. I think he's a really good football player. I'm actually surprised people looked at him as a mid to late second round guy. I don't think he'll sneak in the first round, but again, he's one of those where athletically he was really, really impressive in Indy, and he's got a big frame. I mean, he could carry 280 pounds and still move really well. I think those are, you know, that's kind of the discussion point of what you have, you know, in that range. Because I don't think the Georgia guys, Mikel Williams, they're not going to fall all the way down. You'd have to move up to get them.
Bruce, how far is the gap between some of the players you just mentioned and Abdul Carter?
You know, Abdul Carter, I think, is the surest thing. I mean, he's not a huge edge guy. He's in the 255 range. He is a really dynamic athlete. Obviously, he didn't work out in Indy. I think, you know, he's a little bigger than Jalen Walker. I think Jalen Walker, I don't think there's a huge gap between the two, to be honest. Wow. I think that Jalen Walker was surrounded by, you know, Penn State had a really good D-line. Georgia had even more guys around there, so you're just not playing. We've seen a bunch of these guys go to the Eagles, no less, and they end up, you know, flourishing in the NFL, who were really impressive, highly thought of guys at Georgia, but they were just so deep there. I just don't think they were piling up the stats some of these other guys did. But I don't think there's a massive gap between Abdul Carter and Jalen Walker.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. At 29, like, Washington is just going to be in an interesting spot. Do you agree? I saw Daniel Jeremiah tweet this out maybe about a month ago, right before the combine, that in this class, from picks 20 to 60, you could be getting a similar type player in terms of skill. Do you feel that way about it? And if that's the case, would you be an advocate for trading back from 29, depending on who's there, obviously?
Yeah, obviously. I agree with what DJ said. I think if you have, to me, there's a lot of good players who may end up in the top of the third round. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, like, unlike last year where, like, the receiver crop there was a bunch of guys in there. I don't know, like, Tedder McMillan, I like, has like elite ball skills, and he's over 6'4". He's like a former volleyball player, but, you know, he's not going to run. He didn't run in the combine. I heard he was not going to run in anything. And, you know, maybe he's a 4.65 guy. I don't know. Like, Puka Nacua, I'm not saying he's the exact same type of player, but it's not like Puka tested great either. This is a bigger guy. And you know, kind of where I'm going with that is I just think that, you know, this is kind of a different draft. There's good tight ends. I think there's good running backs. I actually think it's a pretty good O-line draft, but it's not a good, you know, there's not a ton of star power. The quarterbacks are not great. I think there's Cam Ward, and then I think, you know, there's Shador a little further down, maybe, you know, maybe Jackson Dart. But because of it, I just think when you look at what's the top of the draft, we're talking about, you know, Travis Hunter, who's kind of a unicorn in how he played from CU. You got Abdul Carter, you got the Georgia guys. I think Mason Graham's a really, really good football player. And then you got, like, a bunch of O-linemen who I think are good, but some of the better ones are like, is he a tackle? Is he a guard?
Yeah.
You know, because it just, It's kind of a different kind of draft, just because there's a cluster of guys. And we start out by talking about the edge guys. You have three guys, I think, two guys with some legit character concerns going in. You got a player like Shamar Stewart, who's an elite athlete and tester, but again, very little production, 4.5 sacks in 3 years. I mean, he was a 5-star guy out of high school who you see why he would be a 5-star the way he tested at the combine, but, you know, he might be a top 10 pick, and that, I think, you know, I think that's a big roll of the dice there.
Bruce, how do you feel about Will Johnson? It felt like after 2023, he was one of the best corners in college football, and then because of the injuries at Michigan this year, it feels like he's now falling in all the mock drafts I'm looking at.
I think there's a little bit of concern at how fast is he. Remember, this was the MVP of the national title game when Michigan won at the end of the 2023 season. He's got good size. The guys I know who've coached him think he is quarterback smart. Like they think he's just, he gets football. He's one of the smartest corners you're going to come across. You know, he's physical. I think the question is, would he run 4.52? Now, the people I talked to at Michigan say he's a much better athlete than a lot of these people are trying to say he is. I think he's a really good football player. I don't think he's Travis Hunter. Like he's in a lot of ways he's opposite of Travis. Travis Hunter is super twitchy and not stiff at all. He's probably like, you know, about as flexible and instinctive and as you get as a cornerback with amazing ball skills. Will Johnson has good ball skills, but I don't think Will Johnson, there is a little bit of concern, you know, is he stiff? You know, could he end up actually as a safety down the road? It wouldn't shock me. I mean, he's big enough. He's got some physicality. I think, again, there's guys like this where I think they're really good football players, and then you look back and it's like, okay, how healthy was he this year? Was that some of the reason why the tape this year wasn't as good as what some people were hoping for? Again, it's kind of a weird cornerback draft because you have another guy in Savon Revel, you know, from East Carolina. Most people I haven't seen him. He's one of my freaks list guys. And then he hurt his knee and missed most of last year. I think if he was healthy, he would be a guy who might be a top 20 pick in this draft. And so, yeah. You know, you have two high-level corners who missed a lot of last year, were not healthy, and I think that, you know, that's let the buyer beware. But I think sometimes some of the draft chatter may end up being wrong on these guys, and they may end up going higher than they're probably we're talking ourselves out of them when maybe NFL teams aren't.
Bruce, how late do you think Washington can get a plug-and-play guy along the offensive line? Talking about either a tackle or guard, and one guy in particular that I've been kind of crushing on just because he's just a war daddy, I describe him as, is Tate Ratledge from Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely looks the part with the mullet and everything. I mean, Georgia has a couple of guys like that in the O-line who, you know, another guy was like, you know, one of our freshest guys who was state champion wrestler. I don't know if he lost in 3 years. I mean, I think those guys, you know, Ratledge is a tall guard. I mean, he's every bit of, you know, 6'6", 320. And, you know, I could see some Landon Dickerson, you know, now, you know, he started out, he was at Alabama and then he was with the Eagles where I think he's just a big, tall, nasty guy. I could see him having a really, really good career. I think he's one of those guys, like you said, could plug in. I don't think there's anything fancy about him. But remember, look what he went up against every day at Georgia, you know, from the time he got there. I think that bodes well. I don't know if he is my guess is he's a late second round guy because there's, you know, nothing flashy. But I think, you know, I could see him doing well. I would be surprised if he does not have a really good NFL career just because of what he saw every day. You know, you have another guy, Jared Wilson, who, you know, everybody knew, you know, everybody kind of found out about him because he ran in the 4.8s as an offensive lineman, but, a Georgia center who I think, you know, he played behind some really good players and he played around some really good players. I could see him, you know, going a little earlier than probably people were expecting. I could see both guys maybe ended up in the second round.
Bruce, thankfully in this market, we don't have to worry about quarterback this year after Jaden Daniels. First time in our lifetime we haven't had that issue. But, you know, I'm still intrigued by the position, and I'm a little bit of a degenerate. So if I were to set the over-under line at 2.5, how many quarterbacks go in the first round? Are you going over-under that number?
I would think there will be a third. I think it'll be Dart. I think somebody will move up to kind of get him. Here's what I know people really like about him. He's incredibly tough. And they think he's a good leader. He's a decent athlete, more than decent. And I thought he looked pretty good at the combine. I don't think he is a top. You know, like I saw somewhere, you know, in the last couple of days, somebody was like, yeah, somebody's going to trade up to try to take him at like 8, and that surprised me when I heard, or somewhere in the top, you know, top 12. Like, if he was in last year's draft, I think he goes ahead of Spencer Rattler, but I don't think he goes anywhere, you know, near the other guys. But I think he and Tyler Shuck are the next best options. I wouldn't be surprised if some teams had either one of those guys above Shador on their draft boards. I don't, you know, Shador is smart and he's pretty accurate and he's definitely a tough kid, but he's limited athletically. He's nowhere near as athletic as those other two guys. He had a worse offensive line than both of them, but you know, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little more surprised if somebody jumped up to get him, cause he's going to be 26 years old. And also he has a significant injury history. He just could not stay healthy when he was at Texas Tech before he went to Louisville, but he's got good arm talent and he's big and he can run. And, you know, it's just like, what are your needs and how desperate are you depending on how the rest of this, you know, quarterback free agent market shakes out.
It's going to be interesting. Bruce, I'll let you go on this, my friend. I got six prospects here for you. We'll do a little hypothetical Harry. If they're on the board at 29 for Washington, based on what you know about their needs and the background info you've been able to gather on these guys, if these six are there, who's the pick? Jihad Campbell, the linebacker out of Bama, Siobhan Revell, the corner, Josh Simmons, the tackle, Josh Connolly, the tackle, and then Donovan Azaraku and James Pierce. If you're Washington, and all of those guys are sitting there for you at 29.
Jihad Campbell, I think he's the best player of the group. He is a really explosive athlete. He's not Micah Parsons, but I think he's in that spirit where he could be probably a Pro Bowler at two different spots. I think he could definitely as an off-ball linebacker, but also as an edge guy. From, you know, I remember talking at midseason to Kane Womack, who's the defense coordinator at Alabama, and he was like, he's the one guy we have here who was just like, when Alabama always has like two or three of them on defense, they didn't really have that last year. He was about as close as they come, and he kept getting better and better and better. I think they were hoping he might stay another year, but he just, you know, he performed so well that he just kept blowing up. He could, you know, there's no concerns about him. I'm not saying the other guys have red flags, but you either have guys coming off injuries, guys with character concerns. I just don't see that guy, Campbell, being there as late as when Washington picks.
Yeah, I agree with you. Super freak. I think he would fit perfectly in this Dan Quinn defense. And knowing what DQ did with Micah, he would be a guy that
would you think
about trading up for him even? I mean, is he that?
I would, but look, I mean, I feel like your fan base has worn it so long of like, it just like the franchise that couldn't get out of its own way. And then all of a sudden now in the last like 2 years, you know, start with Terry McLaurin ending up there. And then you just kind of start rolling through, like, you know, Daniels turned out to be like a slam dunk. Then you get Debo. You know, I love what they did last year. Like Sainer still, I thought, is a great football player, and they got, you know, they're doing a lot. You know, it's like all of a sudden now it's flipped. So, you know, if somehow they get Campbell, I mean, I don't know how high you'd move after. My guess is you'd probably have to move up 10 spots to get him, maybe even more than that. I don't think he gets out of the top 20. If he does, a bunch of people, I think, have screwed up. But, you know, we'll see. Crazy stuff happens on draft day.
We'll see. Bruce, appreciate you as always, man. Great work. Love following your stuff. Appreciate you giving us some time.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Bruce Feldman, one of the absolute best, talking all things NFL draft. Check out his work at theathletic.com. Final hour of power coming up here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Chris Russell joins you at 1 o'clock. When we come back, though, it's the official start of the legal tampering period in the National Football League. Breaking news coming your way all hour here on the Team 980.